just got dyslexia, okay?
Dishonor on you! Dishonor on your cow!
Welcome, foolish mortals.
It is with deepest pride and greatest pleasure that we welcome you tonight.
The reference here is very obscure.
Welcome to the obscure world of Disney. You're listening to the Obscure Disney Podcast.
It's our belief that no detail is too small, no character cameo too short, and no quirk too strange to be celebrated.
And with new episodes every Tuesday and Thursday, why not get an annual pass wherever you get your podcast from, or find us at obscuredisneypodcast.com.
And see all of our fun patches at disneypatch.com.
There's not a lot of positives to our current global situation.
No.
But one of them is that we got to see Onward in the comfort of our own home only 2 weeks after it was released.
Yeah, 50 million people got to watch it 1 week, which is a few weeks after opening.
Which is incredible. Very nice.
Yeah.
Because it undoubtedly hurt their numbers.
Oh, no
quite
kidding.
A bit.
Seriously.
I actually have those numbers. But if you haven't watched Onward yet on Disney Plus, or I'm guessing it's probably streaming in a couple places, wouldn't it be?
No, I bet it's only on Disney Plus.
Okay. If you haven't watched it yet, it's definitely worth a sit down and watch.
So to the 50 million of you that have Disney Plus.
Right. I made it a point again to see nothing about it before we sat down and watched it. So I had nothing spoiled for me. But we're going to spoil it for you now during this podcast. So if you haven't watched it yet, you might want to watch it before we spoil everything for you.
I'll give you a hint. It involves a van and a mushroom, because those are the only two things that I remember before. The little houses look like mushrooms.
Oh, gotcha.
Right?
Yeah.
That's all you remember? From the preview.
Oh, from the preview. Okay. Yeah. I was like, we just watched this. How could you have forgotten it all already? Going into it, I knew that it was high fantasy we were going to be running into here, which is not really your thing. You don't like the super fantasy, magic-y kind of stuff in general, right?
I don't hate it. It's good.
But it's not really your thing. Like, you prefer historical drama, like fiction
stuff.
That is
true.
Mm-hmm. So I was a little worried that you wouldn't find it very entertaining, at least.
I was pretty excited about it because it was done by Pixar, and I don't think they've done anything bad yet.
Sure.
Right?
Sure.
Yeah.
I think this specific movie, and you can factor in all sorts of things here, but it's one of their lowest performing
shows. I can imagine that has to be true.
Not just because of the situation that we're in, but their opening weekend wasn't as big as they wanted it to be.
Oh, really?
And then it dropped off quicker than any other Pixar movie, I believe.
Huh.
Again, it could be world circumstance, but there are other things, right? So Onward, it cost between 175 to 200 million to make.
I can see that, yeah.
Which is pretty, I think it's pretty standard for a Pixar movie.
Uh-huh.
And the box office was only 103 million.
$100 million though? Was that was while it was running though for the 2 week time period?
Yeah.
Okay.
So it's not an abysmal failure, but they definitely didn't make their money back as far as the box office goes.
Yeah.
And with them releasing it on Disney Plus, they've pretty much solidified that they're not going to make any more money on this.
Uh-huh.
Which I think is unfortunate.
So when we compared just the movie, though, to other Pixar movies, how did you feel about it that way?
Because
you liked it a lot.
I did like it. The weird thing about it is that we watched it this month, which is, it's already an emotional parent month for me.
Uh-huh.
And so to have a movie about them trying to speak to their deceased parent.
Yeah.
It hit a couple nerves for me in strange places. Visually, you can't take anything away from Pixar. It's always beautiful. It's just a given at this point that Pixar is going to make a pretty movie.
Yeah, it doesn't even look like animation.
I wouldn't say that the animation was beyond everything else that they've done. It feels kind of... I haven't watched it, but I know the movie Trolls. Have you seen like previews for that? It almost feels a little trollsy.
Do you think they were trying to capitalize on some of the troll movement?
Possibly. Huh. I don't know. What I did find interesting, though, is that the main character looks an awful lot like the main character from Ratatouille.
Yeah.
If you look at them side by side, they're very, very similar, which I don't know was on purpose or not.
They just took all the animation from that.
I wouldn't go that far, but it's definitely a similar character design. So I wonder if they just had a similar character designer or just didn't notice that it was that similar.
Oh, that's funny.
So the basic concept that we have for this is, they're elves, I believe. Elves. Yes.
Yeah, I think so. With their pointed ears.
Yeah. They're two brothers. And one of them is very into a tabletop game that is very much like Dungeons and Dragons.
Mm-hmm.
And the other is not so much. And the younger is coming of age where he gets to drive and things, and all he obviously is really sad that his dad passed away before he got to really know him at all.
Uh-huh.
And his mom gives them a gift from their dad that he wanted them to have when they were both old enough. And it's basically a magic staff that will bring him back for 24 hours. Right?
Yeah. It's a
general premise of the movie. The spell goes wrong and they only get his lower half. So dad's legs are walking around and they are in a race to find the components to finish the spell to bring him back. What I didn't understand is why didn't they just wait till the next day and try the spell again so that he would have a full 24 hours as an actual person?
Yeah, I was thinking that. Yeah. As opposed to so late in the day.
Right.
Yeah.
From the very beginning of this movie, I said, something's going to go wrong and they're not going to get to talk to their dad. I don't know what it is. Like, they're going to bring him back and then the sun's going to set instantly as he opens his mouth. Like, I just felt that it was going to have a little bit of a sad ending because that's kind of what Pixar likes to do to us sometimes.
Rude.
They like to pull on the heartstrings a little bit. Huh. Right?
Yeah.
And so it's kind of a road adventure with the two brothers trying to get the components they need for this spell specifically,
which I loved. I loved all of that. It was a lovely movie. I had a fun time with it, but I'm not into Dungeons and Dragons. I don't even know the game.
Right.
I thought for you that enjoys Dungeons and Dragons a lot would totally be like, this would be a animation right up your alley.
Oh, and it really is. It's fun. It's not based on Dungeons and Dragons. So there are some differences. Similar. Yeah. There's some differences and some similarities in what's going on. But what is fun about this is that what they've basically envisioned is a world where magic became obsolete because it was difficult and they found easier ways to do things.
I totally was all about that storyline.
Yeah.
Yeah, I thought that was fun.
And I think that storyline they could have leaned into more, and I think I would have liked it a little bit more. I think the general consensus from a lot of people is that it had a lot of potential with the great ideas.
Yeah.
And maybe didn't round them out like they could have into a more complete story.
Huh. Yeah.
Because they do, like, there are things about it that I thought were extremely clever. The fact that they go to see the manticore.
She was absolutely awesome.
Yeah.
And how much do I want to go to her restaurant for pizza one night?
And instead of having a fortress, she has like a family style restaurant,
right?
Which I thought was interesting. The pixies don't know how to fly anymore. Now they ride motorcycles.
They forgot how to fly.
The pawn shop is run by a goblin. Like, there, it's a fun concept for sure to think of these fantastic creatures that we write stories about and think, gosh, wouldn't it be cool if our world was like that? To see them living in a world just like ours,
right,
is definitely interesting.
Yeah. So I thought it was a really fun movie. And again, like you said, though, just once, it would be fun if something didn't happen to the parents every single time.
We love the trauma of dead parents.
Like, it almost makes you wonder, do they go to pitch meetings and just start out the meeting by like, oh, okay, who are you going to kill off this time?
Who's dead? That's the motivation.
We got to start with somebody dead.
Right.
And I'm tired of that. Like, I'm just tired of that. I guess in Brave, she became a bear, which isn't quite dead.
Right.
It's close to
she
that.
Had her parents there. Yeah.
Is there a movie that they don't die in somewhere? Somebody's dead, not dying? Like, I'm so tired of that.
Yeah, I think it is a bit of a story crutch where they're like, well, we need something for them to be sad about. So what can we traumatize children with?
Right.
Let's kill off a parent.
Big Hero 6, the brother. But they also lived with their aunt, right?
Yeah, their parents were both dead.
What is up?
Yeah.
What's up?
I don't, like I said, I feel like it's a lazy story point at this point, and maybe it's time to do something different. You know, like we said, the fact that magic was in this world and they invented their way out of it, maybe that could have been enough of a motivator for this kid who has magic powers to want to discover that world again, regardless of whether or not his dad is dead or not. That could have been enough of a motivator.
That he just wanted to discover magic on his own.
Right.
And then magic goes awry and something happens because it's too powerful or something. I don't know.
Maybe in one of his spells, well, this might be more violent too. Maybe in one of his spells, he removes the top half of his dad's body and then they still have just the dad legs walking around.
Okay.
Which definitely feels
and
like...
And now they have to figure out how to bring dad back.
Before the sun sets, right?
I'm down for that.
Yeah.
I'm down for that. Like that...
Because I really, honestly, from what they showed of the dad, he seemed like he would be a fun character to have around.
Yeah.
He seemed easygoing and funny and that kind of stuff. So, it might have been... a different story point. I don't want to say stronger because it is, you know, the reason that they keep using it is because it works. But I think I would have felt a bit more urgency if you had gotten to know their dad and then he was turned into just legs and you're like, oh no, I really want that character back. You better go and put him back together again, you know?
Yeah, I loved the movie. I thought the movie was fantastic, but I don't think it was as good as, like, you know, some of the other ones they've done. Any of the other ones, you know, Inside Out or whatnot.
Right.
Oh, she had both of her parents in Inside Out.
She did have both of her parents.
Oh, thank goodness. Yeah. Oh, we found one, y'all.
There's one. Yay.
And I loved it.
Yeah.
I loved that she had a whole family.
Right. So it is a very interesting... adventure movie where they basically do what I call the Frozen storyline, where the character thinks that all of their problems are going to be solved, their life is going to be better once they talk to this person.
Yeah.
Right? Once this person is back in their life, or once they have this conversation with this person, then they're going to feel complete.
Uh-huh.
And as they near the end of this movie... he realizes that all the things that he wanted from a dad had been filled by his older brother.
Oh, that's nice.
Which is nice. The only downside to this is that I felt like I was already two steps ahead of the story.
Yeah.
Which is unfortunate. You never want to be that way with a movie. You don't want to be like, oh, it's his brother. You know,
yeah,
like in this movie, I said
Pixar is usually better about hiding,
right? Their stories usually tend to be a bit more complex where you are surprised by things at the end, right? I guessed things at the end of the movie that I probably shouldn't have based on just having seen a lot of movies, so I feel like maybe their story could have been fleshed out a bit more and made stronger.
Yeah, the bar for writing movies has gotten quite a bit higher now with the audience seeing so much and seeing so many movies.
Right.
You have to do something a little bit new and different. I mean, I guess we all saw Hans as well as the bad guy.
Yeah, and that was one of my problems with Frozen is that he wasn't developed enough as a character.
But we all knew he was going to be a bad guy.
Did you?
You didn't think so? There was no way he was going to end up as a good guy after marrying her after just one day.
I thought it would be interesting if he was a good guy and then she had to make a choice between him and Kristoff, you know?
That would have been interesting.
But in reality, we now know that Elsa right. was supposed to be the villain of that movie.
Oh, yeah.
And so when they wrote Let It Go and realized that they couldn't turn the woman that sings Let It Go into the villain, they changed the villain to Hans. So I don't feel like it was as strong as it could have been.
And it was a good, yeah, it's a good movie. I'm glad they made the change, although it would have been more interesting the other way.
Right.
But
So in general, though, with all the high magic kind of stuff that they were doing, what was your favorite part of the movie, of Onward in general?
Well, the big character, what was she? Matador?
The Manticore.
The Manticore.
Mm-hmm.
She's my favorite part.
Is she your favorite part?
I'm all about Miss Manticore.
Running her business.
Right. That is totally what it was.
Then lighting it all on fire in the process.
Realizing that she's been hiding under a bushel of sorts.
No, I'm going to let it shine.
Yeah, seriously. I felt very... I related with her, if that means anything at all.
Okay.
Right?
Yeah. I'm trying to think. Honestly, I asked you that question because I wasn't sure what my favorite part of it was.
The mom was pretty dang awesome, too,
I for liked some the mom a lot.
Mm-hmm. She seemed like a super cool soccer mom. D&D style.
Someone that had put up with her kids for a very long time right. and knew them very well. And then at the end, she gets a fun moment, which is always good. Honestly, though, I think... the ending was a little bit too sad for me. And while I understand why they did it, I didn't really like the way they chose to end the conversation.
I didn't either. Not necessarily, really. I expected more out of a Pixar movie, that's for sure.
Yeah. When they were making The Little Mermaid, before they brought on Howard Ashman to help them, when King Triton officially turns Ariel into a human at the end of the movie, spoiler alert, I guess, when he finally turns her into a human of his own choice, originally they weren't going to have any words there. It was just going to be put across with the facial expressions. And Howard Ashman came in and said, I think you need to have the guts to vocalize that, put words there. Right. And every time something like the end of Onward happens, I feel like
what he says. What did he say?
He's like, well, there's only one problem left.
Okay.
How much I'm going to miss her.
Oh, yeah.
And it gives me the chills just saying it. And I am not even doing it. And that's a character moment that they were going to lose if they didn't choose to have that vocalized. I understand why they chose to end Onward the way they did. But I feel like having the strength of actually putting the conversation there, I would have liked better, personally. Yeah,
I agree. I think that would have elevated the movie for sure.
Yeah. Do you think that this movie is going to get a sequel and or like a TV series?
Oh, who's to say in this content-rich world we now live in, right? Like, it feels like they just need content for content's sake.
Do you think it's
they don't even call it art anymore? They just call it content.
Content.
What does that even mean?
Yeah.
Content. Anyway,
stuff. That's what it means. It means stuff. Do you think it's strong enough to hold up to a second film or a TV series? I guess
if you turn it into a TV series, you would almost have to go a completely different direction. Like what you're saying is almost play in the world of magic and then move this story past where the movie was at.
Yeah,
and then it could almost become its own separate thing where it's just a magical world of sorts, but
right.
who knows? At that point, it could be enough. If you're just looking for a reason to make a new TV series, you could.
Well, but I mean, they made a TV series out of Tangled, which yeah. I feel like was a very packaged film.
Uh-huh.
And I feel like the real mark of a good movie is if people want to return to the world that you've built.
Uh-huh.
I think about that with like Zootopia.
Mm-hmm.
I feel like Zootopia is ripe with opportunities for them to make sequels or a TV show because yep. there's so much going on in that
movie. Yeah, that's very true.
This movie, while it had its ups and downs, I really feel like the world that they built was very well imagined and could hold a lot as far as story goes.
Yeah.
In general.
Ooh. We're getting nitpicky with these podcasts, but yes.
Are we?
That's how we feel about these movies nowadays.
Well, this is the problem. I think everybody in the world is a film critic now.
Oh, yeah.
We know enough about the inside workings of film. We know the complexities of story. And we're just a more discerning group of content consumers now, where very few people walk out of a movie and have zero opinion on it.
That's true.
Everyone walks out of a movie these days and goes, well, I didn't like this, or I feel like this could have been better, or I loved this part. They should have done more of that. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Like we're doing now.
Right now. Which is fantastic. This is what we love about the world we live in nowadays.
Right. But in general, let's give final scores.
I would definitely say B.
Yeah?
I'm giving a good B.
I would say B also. It's worth a watch. You and your kids can sit down and both enjoy it. It's one of those kind of films where you're not going to hate sitting through it.
Yeah, even if we went to the theaters to see it, I would have had to find enough time with it.
Right.
It would have been fine. It would have been good.
It's got a couple tearjerker moments in there, some good laughs. If you're into tabletop role-playing games, you'll see a lot of...
You'll love that.
Familiar things in there. So overall, I'm going to say, yeah, be worth a watch and 100% worth it if you already own Disney Plus. What are you waiting for? It's a great show to watch, right?
It's true. Yeah, it's a $100 million movie. Why not?
But it's like I always say, if the spell doesn't work and I only come back as legs, don't take me on a road trip.
Follow my perfectly sculpted two-finger point to the exit.
If you enjoyed today's podcast, rate, review us on your favorite podcast app. And if you didn't, help us do better by buying a patch at DisneyPatch.com.
Always be proud of what makes you unique. And we'll see you next time on the Obscure Disney Podcast.